Wow. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Wow. I was somewhere. Okay. I don't know where. Were you also somewhere? It just brought us there. It was incredible
setting. So that's very inspirational in itself.
You inspired a lot by playing and just. I mean, I have questions, so we'll get to that. But but just the end that you kept us listening to where you were and we were there. It was amazing.
That's so kind of you to say. Well, first of all, may I just say, Your Majesties and the wonderful guests that are all here, I'm just so incredibly honored to be sharing this platform with extraordinary people. And I've been so inspired by the presentations. And in fact, there were several things that meandered its way, fed through its way in that piece of music from what had been said. And I think this is just the wonderful thing about live situations when we're face to face with each other, is that we can grasp that body language. And I think sound music is all about putting that body language onto what we describe as music. And I guess it's the difference between the notation that we see on the page, and that really is our map. But, you know, we can read words in a book, but it's how something is said, it's what the eyes are doing, it's what the body is doing. And that's what I feel that, you know, whether you're a professional musician, an amateur musician, someone picking up a pair of mallets for the first time or the millionth time, is that if there's that curiosity to tap into the face language of music, then, it will always be our medicine. It will never, ever leave our system. So the sooner that we can really cultivate that, that it belongs to us all, it is all of our responsibility to share music and to participate in music in any way that we feel. So I was very inspired by the two incredible presentations, and I know I'll be going to my bed tonight thinking about all of that. So,
well, really, I was thinking about that when you were... Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. When you were playing, all this information came in, and I was thinking how fortunate we are now to have this little bit of knowledge, because we have so many questions afterwards. But to have this little bit of knowledge, just taking it with listening in a different way. And I'm a musician. I know how to listen and how to play. But still, it went into a place in my head and in my heart that was, it was landing differently. So thank you so much for that.
I think the one thing that sometimes I'd love for a conversation to be perhaps more focused on is that we think about the ingredients of music, such as rhythm or texture or dynamics and so on, but is the resonance, that resonance. And, you know, that is really what that piece is all about. It's all really in A minor. You know, it's a fairly lonely key. It's a searching key. It's a key whereby you imagine one person walking along a beach or something, thinking and, you know, trying to get things lined up. It's one of those sort of lonely keys in a way. And when we're in that situation, you know, everything is resonating, you know, we're listening inwardly. And I think a lot of that is listening inwardly. So may I go over? if I may, you know, that or most of that piece, not all of it, is notated. So you can look at the piece from a percussionist point of view, and the piece starts with a particular dynamic, which I think is something like P. What does P mean? It means soft, but in what sort of relationship, you know, soft in this room, well, you're very, very close to the instrument, and the instrument is on this carpet, so the resonance has to come through me, perhaps more than the instrument. Mm-hmm. But if I was to read this piece of music, I'd literally be playing.
Yeah.
And into the pattern like this. But as a musician, I have to think, well, how do I want to create a little sentence out of that, a little bit of emotion? So I may go. Okay.
but as the sound creator and as the owner of that particular piece of music, and really seeing myself as the extension of the mallets going through the instrument and so on, I want to just build up the atmosphere of the here and now, not of the notated page. So I'm asking you to come to the marimba in order to find out, well, what are we listening to? You know, what kind of atmosphere is being built up there? So there's an awful lot, maybe a minute or so of non-notated things going on there. And I'm on the nodal part. The nodal part is where the string goes through. And this is the part when you learn to play a marimba, do not strike on that part. So if someone says that, then could do the complete opposite, because actually it's a very beautiful kind of distant. Distant feel as opposed to. It's a huge difference. And then if I wanted to. Do you or don't you hear something? But the listening then is coming through that presence. So we're all part of a kind of world premiere in a way, no matter which piece we play. So we're acknowledging each other in a performance.
It's because we talked about this before we came here, about the body and the resonance and the presence of your body with the instrument. And now this is a marimba, but you have also different types of instruments, and that you make it exactly to where you can feel how the resonance is in the instrument. So how does your relationship with your body and the instrument, how does it work?
Well, I think that they're integral. It's a bit like, you know, resonance for me is the same as to hear and to feel, you know, or to feel and to dance. You know, they're all very much related. So one thing isn't separated. It's not something that you... there's no method to this. There's only a kind of willingness to discover that your body is almost like a huge ear. It really is like a resonator. So, for example, if I cover the top of a resonator on the marimba, if I just cover the very top here, and I take my hand away, and that's really what's happening when you're allowing the sound to not just come through the ear, but literally sink its way through the body. And I remember my very first percussion lesson, or very early percussion lesson. And at the time, I thought that sound was fed through the ears. Mm-hmm. And you may understand this, Tanya, yourself, in that when you are wearing hearing aids, it amplifies the sound.
Yes.
And it's very difficult sometimes to decipher where that sound is coming from.
No, you can't.
And it's
difficult.
Very hard. And once, you know, when you play an instrument, what the thing about percussion is that it's high frequencies, low frequencies, short sounds, long sounds, all sorts of sounds. And my teacher asked me to take my hearing aids off, and he asked me to place my hands on the wall of the little practice room, teaching room that we were in. And he struck a timpani. This was just a school timpani. And he said, you know, can you decipher that the initial strike of the mallet on the head? And then how much are you actually feeling, and where are you feeling that of the resonance? So it's the journey of the sound.
Wow.
And that's what you don't really see on a printed page.
No.
You might see a minim, and we count that. You know, it's 2 beats, it's 3 beats, it's 7 beats, it's however many beats. So we just count that fairly religiously because we want to pass an exam or an audition or something. But that's when you're thinking about resonance, there's a very different feel to rhythm, because your instrument really is the room that we're in. It's no longer this, it's the presence of the audience, it's the room that we're in. So my mind is thinking, I quite like this to be a cathedral, actually. No offense at all, but acoustically, I'd love this to be a cathedral. Yeah. But you know that because people are so close, that you want them to come to this. So it's almost like a bedtime story, really.
Yes.
So there's this kind of relationship of resonance and yes, it's very difficult to say, but it is really paying attention to what is happening to the sound after the obvious. So once a bow comes down on the string, what is happening to the sound? When something is fed through a trumpet, what is happening to the sound? Once a mallet comes down on a drum or a marimba or a cymbal, then what is happening to the sound?
Yes.
And it's that paying attention that really amplifies our listening, and that amplifies the story, because that gives colour to everything that we do.
Of course. I mean, as a singer, the resonance is in here. We are the instrument, and getting that out and combining it, what you hear in the room, sometimes is difficult, because I would not prefer a cathedral because of all the resonance, you know, because of all everything that's coming at all the sides. But for you, playing together with another musician, how does that work?
Well, there are certain practicalities that are put in place.
Yes.
So if I'm playing a concerto with an orchestra, mm-hmm. I ask the conductor to be right on the edge of the stage. I turn my instruments to a more or less 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. And so it means that the conductor can see me and I can see the conductor. But also, perhaps more importantly, is that 3/4 of the orchestra can see me.
Yes.
And so, again, this is getting away from the obvious, because yes. with percussion, we can be so much on top of the beat. Mm-hmm. It is immediate. So once you make that commitment, there's no going back. You
yes.
know, you can't say, ooh, I'd just like to make that a little bit fatter or a bit more growly mm. or a bit more sweet or something. Once you've made the commitment, that is it. So it's really important for an orchestra to see that pre-movement in how something is made, because that will allow them to build on the emotion of what might be coming out once that strike has materialized.
Yes.
So it's this kind of opening up of the senses. And I think this is something that definitely can be cultivated when we're talking about music, when we're talking
yes.
about learning music, an instrument, and so on. It's very much fed through here. What do you hear?
Yes.
As opposed to what are we really listening to here? How does a scale of C major sound in the privacy of your own four walls? How does it sound if we just go out in the corridor? How does it sound if we go outside? You know, and what difference happens with the body? What difference happens with the posture of the body, with that feeling of giving the sound? Because we are givers as musicians. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We give
yes.
a sound story. So it's really thinking, I think possibly this way as well as that way, when we're thinking about improving on our instruments, what does progress mean?
What we talked about, what the professors have talked about already, I think it's interesting to see how this, how you perceive your musicianship and your instrument and how you make music, and what you were all saying about, it's all about listening to the music. But if that's not possible, because I'm also hard of hearing, and if it's not possible, how do you can you use this music as medicine? We see that Dame Evelyn Glennie can, but how can we incorporate that? Yes, I want you to answer. Yes, I would.
Evelyn Glennie already made the distinction between hearing and listening.
Yes.
I think listening is far more general. Listening is
it
general
is.
In the sense it's also sensing.
Yes.
It's paying yes. attention to your eyebrows. It's paying attention is maybe a better word. So mm-hmm. I think there's this difference between auditory listening is more the general thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's fascinating in that, you know, when we think about music exams, we think that we're often asked to, you know, play our scales, play our pieces. We do a bit of sight reading. We, I don't know, maybe do transposition, or we have our oral tests, and we do this and that in general musicianship. But rarely do we have to improvise. Mm. And I think when we think about improvisation, this is where you discover how much someone is listening and how comfortable they are with their instrument, with the space that they're in, communicating about the acoustics. You know, what is happening here? We have this wonderful, you know, carpet, lots of coverings, lots of ornate furniture, the beautiful chandeliers and so on. And, you know, when you walk into a space, you are getting to know your instrument mm-hmm. when, by the way, there's a marimba there.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
So
yes.
I think that improvisation is something that you can share with any person. You can share it with an infant, you can share it with a newborn, you can share it with someone who is perhaps taking their last breath, because improvisation doesn't have to come through music. Mm-hmm. You know, improvisation can come through a look in the face. It can come through a something tactile, just the holding of a hand. It's something that you are listening to. You're listening to that here and now. And that's what's so powerful, I think, when we try to link music and medicine. Yes. And how we move forward with our lives.
And let's say a care facility or a hospital, what would be for you the ideal situation if you have a patient that's coming in for whatever, but there's music there? What would be for you as a musician an ideal situation that you can create for such a patient?
Well, I think, you know, if you think about a care home, you have to think about the people who are caring for the folks inside that home. And, you know, there's such a domino effect going on here. And I don't think that I can really outline exactly what I would like. Mm-hmm. I think that we have to try to connect our dots even more than we're doing. So the wonderful people who do work in care homes, how can we nurture them even more to think about music? So not all of those people will be able to play music, because they will not have particularly have had that chance to learn an instrument, or that's just not where their journey has taken them. But I think that when we think about resonance, so, and we think about sound, what is the sound environment of that? Because sometimes when we think about music, it's like, oh my gosh, well, nobody plays here, or oh, we don't have instruments, or does anybody have a keyboard, or, you know, this kind of thing. But when we think about resonance, sound, there could be a frequency there, there could be something that calms a situation, there could be something that brings, you know, a bit of spark there in a conversation. It's really trying to think, what is that sound environment? So when buildings are built, what is the acoustic of that? And how might sound maneuver in that building? You know, this is something that we're very conscious of as musicians. And so when we build a house, you know, do we think about what's the sound of that house? You know, have we thought about what is the sound of our house right now? Does it need a sound spring clean? Might that, you know, help our kind of overall well-being and so on? Yes. So before we get into music, it's thinking, what is that palette or landscape before we feed something else? You often go on an aeroplane, as you know, and an aeroplane is incredibly noisy. There's a lot of vibration. Yes. If you just hold a water bottle and you just literally hold it, mm-hmm. the amount of vibration coming through that bottle is enormous. What do people do? They pop their thingies in their ears and they listen to more sound. So there's this enormous aeroplane engine going through the system, and meanwhile there's an overload of sound up here. It's a huge amount that is being fed through that body for however long that flight may be. So it's trying to think, what is our sound diet? You know, what is our sound diet? How many low frequencies, high frequencies, cosmetically enhanced sounds, natural sounds, sounds of nature, whatever? And I know, Daniel, you asked me earlier, you know, what do you listen to? What sort of music do you listen to? I very rarely listen to music, because for me it's just that overload. I need to keep the plumbing kind of
plumbing,
you know, pretty well. You know,
I think that that the audience has a lot of questions, and these questions are possible for you to make. We are going to be going now to have an aperitif and have dinner. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
And I want to please a round of applause. Oh, yes, very amazing. Thank you. So, thank you. Thank you so much. During the dinner, we will have a table discussion, and one question can be asked for one of our speakers. On the table, there's a little note that you can ask a question and give to your table head, and then after the dinner, we can be able to get more into this material with all our three guest speakers. So I invite you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I invite you all to follow... yes, our ceremony meester. so we can go on with this beautiful evening. Thank you.